So I'm going to continue my material that I'm calling Your New Normal, because there are some spiritual habits and there are some verses that I cling to and return to again and again, should be in all of your spiritual arsenal to create a kind of spiritual normal for you. And if you haven't, I hope these verses can create a new normal for you in a life of continual growth. So let me start off. I'm talking about some warm weather activities. I see, 60s in the forecast for the next few days. I am hopeful this week to break out my bicycle for the first time. I missed my opportunity a couple weeks ago when it was in the 60s, but I hope to this week hit the metro parks. That's been a new passion in my life, and I've kind of pulled my wife in on that, and we love bicycling the metro parks. So a lot has been written about and talked about in the bicycling world around the British bicycle team, their Olympic team, because for years, decades ago, they were a total joke. They were so bad that there were high-end bicycle brands that would not sell their products to the British Olympic bicycle team because they didn't want any kind of brand association. It was that bad. That'd be like a Bible publisher not selling their Bibles to Polaris because our services were that boring. So that gives you an idea of how bad the British cyclists were. And then they hired, let me see if I can find his name, a guy named Dave Brailsford as a kind of coach to try to fix the joke that was the British Olympic team. And he set to work a little bit different. Rather than just going through basic coaching things, he broke it down on very small levels. So first thing they did was they made some obvious choices, like they analyzed the bike seats, found the best for comfort and performance, and they switched everybody to the same bike seat, which makes sense. Then they put fabric in wind tunnels and found the fabrics that were the most wind, whatever you call it, like aerodynamic, or they did the best in the wind, and that was their new material that they all used for their uniforms, which, again, makes sense. But then he went and hired a surgeon to teach the whole team how to wash their hands properly, which would eliminate sickness, which would improve training and create better health for performance. And then they analyzed pillows, and they regimented the use of the pillows that the British bicycle team used so that they could get a better night's sleep. And then they went into the trailers, and they painted the insides white so that the dust buildup could be seen and cleaned, because if you can't see it, then it drifts and gets into the gears of the bike and things like that. And just incremental slows the team down. So anyway, he made a lot of these incremental changes, some that had a direct and obvious impact, like the seats, but others that were more indirect, like washing hands. And in no time flat, they started to win, and then at the Olympics, they actually set records. They won gold medals. It's a dramatic improvement. And it wasn't that he just went in there and fired them up with great speeches. It wasn't that he just went in there and taught technique. He created small wins throughout their weekly routine, which then translated into overall improvement. Now, a lot has been written lately about habits. Two of my favorites, two great books out there are Atomic Habits and The Power of Habit, and just lots of research done, assembled, and presented on what making little changes throughout the week can do to bring about overall success. In other words, we no longer think that it's about just the will to do something better. It's about creating systems in your life. Now, Jesus, obviously well ahead of science, he didn't need, you know, neural pathway studies. He knew exactly what to do to win spiritually. And one of the things that we're going to see today through a prayer that many of you grew up calling the Our Father, he was giving his disciples kind of mechanism, a system throughout the week that would push them forward. So a lot of times when we think of the Lord's Prayer, we think of in terms of, well, it's a prayer. It's something you pray, and it certainly is. But what I'm going to show you in a minute is it was way more than that. It was actually a mechanism, a systematic mechanism that gave early followers of Jesus and can give us today a mechanism to continually move forward and to protect us from getting into dangerous behavior that moves us backwards spiritually. And so then it can be one of those little things that you put in your life that pushes you forward. I did the same thing just to kind of get you thinking along those lines. About 10 years ago, I started to try every couple of years to encourage anyone listening to incorporate Bible reading on a very small level. My thing is 10 minutes a day, 5 days a week. Just try to set your phone and find a way to read your Bible 10 minutes a day, 5 days a week. So let's just say that you came to Polaris for your first time in church, didn't know anything about the Bible 5 years ago. 5 years ago, you heard me say that, and you decided, okay, I'm going to set my phone for 10 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and read the Bible until the timer goes off, and then I'm done. Well, let's say you did that for 50 weeks out of the year. So you didn't get to that Christmas week because it was too hectic, and then the week that you went on vacation, you didn't get to that either because you had, you know, other things to do. But for 50 weeks out of the year, 5 days a week, for just 10 minutes a day, you read the Bible. Well, now, had you done that, you would have over 200 hours of Bible reading. Just from 10 minutes a day, little, you know, exercise on your phone, just bing, and it's time to read your Bible, and then it goes off, and you know you're done. Now, keep in mind that a bachelor's degree is 120 hours, so you would have more than a bachelor's degree in terms of hours of Bible reading. Had you just done that small little thing, a 10-minute habit takes about the same time as, you know, brushing your teeth and doing your hair or whatever. So if you're a guy, I know ladies, doing your hair and stuff takes a lot longer, but for me that's, you know, a 10-minute deal. So we can make great improvements spiritually, but it's probably not going to come just from wanting it. Like, you're probably not going to grow spiritually just from wanting it. It's going to come from small, systematic changes. Okay, so with that in mind, let's take a look at the Lord's Prayer. And what I want you to realize first is that there's a context for the Lord's Prayer. And the context was an ancient world was brought into a Jewish culture. And in Jewish culture at the time of Jesus, there was already the habit of praying three times a day. So they would set aside three times a day. It was the third hour, the sixth hour, and the ninth hour, which translated to 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m. And there isn't necessarily a biblical command to do this, just understand that this was a part of the routine. Everyone who heard the words of Jesus would have associated immediately, the context would be the routine. So when Jesus is giving this prayer, he's basically saying three times a day, you're going to pray this prayer. So let me give you a quick walkthrough of what the Bible does say. If we look at Acts 2:42 says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, which is probably communion, and the prayers. Now, some versions translate that in prayer, but the actual Greek language is the prayers, which is a weird way to say that unless you understand the context of the prayers. They had these memorized things that they would say three times a day. So they devoted themselves not just to prayer, like, you know, getting down and praying and, you know, the working their way through their list with God. The prayers means they had their regimented prayers. So three times a day, they prayed the prayers. So see the way that has more of a systematic feel than just they emotionally poured out their hearts to God. They had the prayers. Okay, now I'm going to, with that in mind, let's look at Luke 11. This is another mention of the Lord's Prayer. It's a couple different places in the Gospels. One day, in a place where Jesus had just finished praying, one of his disciples requested, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples to pray," John the Baptist. So Jesus told them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Now, there's a very important clue here. Teach us to pray like John taught. What he's basically saying, give us a prayer like John gave his disciples. Now, we have a context for that because rabbis, teachers in Jesus' day and time, they had their memorized prayers that they taught to their disciples to pray during the prayer times. So this is every ancient reader would have known exactly what was going here. And what Jesus was doing here is he was saying at your prayer times, at 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m., pray this. Make sense? So this is the context here is a memorized sort of liturgical prayer three times a day. Okay, now, let's look at an ancient manuscript called the Didache, or the Didache. This is from like 50 AD. It's one of the oldest Christian documents. It predates even a lot of the New Testament, okay? Or at least some of the New Testament. Most scholars believe that this would have been a catechism or a manual for new churches or new Christians that told them you're talking like two decades after the resurrection. So this is very early on. It's a very important document because it tells us what Christians did to worship at the beginning of the whole movement. And it says this is from the Didache. And do not pray like the hypocrites, but rather as the Lord commanded in the gospel. Our Father, see, they're real, subtle with their wording. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us enough bread day by day, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, or forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not bring us to a time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Pray thus three times a day. So you can see in the early church fabric was this system to work through this prayer memorized three times a day. So that was how they did it. And there's other places in Scripture, like you can see Daniel praying three times a day. You can see David praying three times a day. I probably beat that dead horse enough. But you get it. Three times a day. This was a mechanism to keep you pushing forward and to keep you from going too far. Because and this is why it's important, these are the themes. Jesus says, what are the themes that I want my followers to return to three times a day, every day, so that they are instilled within them? So that's why this prayer is so important, is it tells us, what themes does Jesus say I should obsess over? So I'm going to walk through this now with the understanding that this was a mechanism and that this was three times a day through these different themes. I'm going to tell you how this could work for you and how it works for me. So here's what I do. 9, noon, and 3 doesn't work for my schedule, so I do 8, 11, and 2. And I just have three alarms on my phone for 8, 11, and 2 to remind me to work through the Lord's Prayer. Do I do it every time? No. Just being honest. Sometimes I'm on a phone call. Sometimes I'm in the middle of something. Sometimes I just don't feel like it. But usually, at least once or twice a day, it happens. And it certainly wouldn't happen without that reminder, okay? So here's how it would work for me. You know what? I forgot to actually read the... Let's go to Matthew. Go to Matthew and let me... This is Matthew's version, which has been basically accepted as the Lord's Prayer. And you'll just see it's one more place where Jesus tells his disciples this prayer, just kind of the redundancy of it. You can tell it was important. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done as on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors, or sins as we forgive our sinners. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So this is like the most complete, concise version, and that's the one that the ancient Christians kind of ran with, and that's in the Sermon on the Mount, which is where it's all packaged like the essence of the Jesus movement. So, all right. So my alarm goes off, and I'm going to work through my prayer, 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., you're going to find, you know, you, let's say you find your three times, and your first time your alarm goes off, and let's go through the first. So the first line is this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So here's the way it translates. You're working through Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Three times a day, you're reminding yourself that you have a Father in heaven who calls you his child. So let's just say that the day before, you went on a colorful binge of sin. Pick your sin of choice, and you went off the rails, okay? And you are feeling terrible guilt, and your alarm goes off, and you force yourself, Our Father in heaven. And you remember, you have a Father in heaven who loves you. And he sees you in the mess that you sit in, and he still calls you his child, his son, his daughter. Three times a day, no matter how bad it's going, you are called back to your identity as a child of God. Do you see how this mechanism could keep you moving forward and keep you from completely going off the rails? Because now, three times a day, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you're reminding yourself, I have a holy Father in heaven, and in his holiness, he sees me and calls me his child. No matter how bad you're feeling, no matter like what you intend to do, no matter like if you have parent issues yourself from your own dysfunctional family, you are reminded three times a day. Jesus is like, don't ever lose sight of your identity. You have a Father in heaven who loves you. You have a Father in heaven who loves you. Three times a day, I have a Father in heaven who loves me. So that's how the mechanism works. Not only is it just a prayer, which is good in and of itself, but it's also a mechanism to call you back to these themes. And how amazing is it that one of the themes that Jesus says he wants you to have, three times a day, I want you to remember that you have a Father in heaven who calls you his child. So that's the first theme. Let's move on to the second theme. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, let me tell you how this worked for me recently. And you'll see hopefully why this is important. Your kingdom come, your will be done. A reminder a few times a day that this whole thing is about God's kingdom and God's will. If you're like me sometimes, my only child syndrome kicks in, and I forget that this isn't all about me and all for me. So to have a reminder every now and then that your kingdom come, God, your will be done. So let me tell you, this is how this worked for me. I have cranked out a lot of online content throughout the pandemic. Haven't had as much other things to do, so I've done a lot of blog posts, and I've done a lot of Facebook Lives. And I got done a few weeks ago with a blog post that I was super excited about. Man, this is going to drop on Facebook, and I'm going to get a lot of likes and a lot of shares. Okay, this is like viral, baby. And I'm, you know, alarm goes off, and I'm sitting through, and honestly, I'm like, okay, this is, and like during a typical session during the day, what I try to do is at least once where I work through the Lord's Prayer stuff and then sit in silence for 10, 15 minutes and just invite God to, you know, just kind of commune with God and all that. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I can't wait to get this one done and I can look and see how many likes and shares I got at the end of this, you know, 20-minute session. You can see what a spiritual giant I am. And so I get to that point, your kingdom come, your will be done. And there's just this nudge like, your kingdom come, your will be done, not mine. And I realized, you know, this online content, a lot of it has really just been about me. Like, I want for people to like what I write. I want to see how many views I got. And it was a chance to realize sending out gospel Jesus stuff, but it's not really for God. It's not really for the person that's reading it. It's really, I want to feel like I'm a decent writer. I want to see who likes my stuff. And it was a very humbling moment to realize what I'm doing in that moment anyway. I like to believe that it's not, you know, that it's just, I dive down into a lower place for a little bit, but it was a chance for God to say, remember that what you're doing is for me and for people, not for you, Alex. So there was this mechanism in my life where God could say through these themes, hey, check that. And then I had the opportunity to work through that, to take that to God, and to try to get my heart and mind right. Whereas if that mechanism wasn't there, I could have continued to run off the rails. Not that now I'm over that struggle, but it was a place for God to say, hey, how about it? Okay? Let's look at the next theme that Jesus says is so important. Give us today our daily bread, or give us today bread day by day. Jesus is talking about daily provision in faith. Now, our real prayer is kind of, God, set me up financially so that I don't have to worry about a thing. But Jesus says the better theme is, give us, because if we're honest, I mean, I don't really want daily bread. I want a pantry full, right? I want a fat 401k. Give us bread day by day. Now, here's how this could work out. Maybe you have a morning and you wake up in your apartment and you're like, I hate this apartment. My friends have this house in that neighborhood. Or I hate my junker car. My friends have, and maybe you start to find a way to think about a way to leverage to get a car you can't afford, or to live in a neighborhood you can't afford, or you're just dejected because you don't have the things that you want to have, and that could lead you toward debt or just misery or whatever. You're bitter because it's because you maybe have some health problems and I can't work to get that and it's not fair, or maybe you went through a bitter divorce and that has you here when you should be there. All kinds of things can start festering. But three times a day, when that starts to fester, you're stopping and you're praying, God, give me enough for the day. That's what Jesus wants for you. That's what he says is best for you, enough for the day. And then you realize that even at the American poverty level, you're at the upper 97th percentile of every human being who lives now or has ever lived. So you probably have enough for the day. You probably have that amount that Jesus says is the spiritual sweet spot for living, bread day by day. But you see the way that little mechanism there could arrest negative thinking, incorrect thinking, and bring you back on the rails that Jesus says a solid spiritual life is built around, bread day by day. Teach me enoughness. So that's another one of the themes that Jesus says is so important. Now look at another theme, which Jesus never moves too far from. Forgive us our sins, as we also have forgiven those who sin against us. How important is it as we live through this life to have at least three times a day where we're reminding ourselves that forgive us our sin. Like Jesus says multiple times, mercy is reciprocal. The amount we extend to others, God extends to us. And so let's just say that, you know, your kids went over to the neighbors to hang out or to play. Depends on their age. Younger kids go play. Older kids go hang out. I've learned that. And you learn that your neighbor has yelled at your neighbor with that hellion kid, that total brat that thinks he's awesome, thinks he's just the picture of intelligence and obedience. She yelled at your kid. Or he yelled at your kid. Like they chastised your kid. And you know, it's all you can do to stomach when their kid comes over and they yelled at your kid. and you're stewing, you're bitter, you're angry, you're ready to hit, you know, text or whatever. Or let's say that you're at work and you're in a meeting with a bunch of people and one of your coworkers just throws you under the bus, calls you out in front of everybody. And you see what they're trying to do, and it's just stewing. And your alarm goes off, and it's, God, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And you remember that thing you did yesterday, or you know the mountain of sin that you sit on yourself and how much mercy it requires from God if you're going to join him in heaven someday. And you remember that mercy is reciprocal, and you know you need a lot, and so you need to give a lot, and you decide, okay, I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to let it go. See, you could go off the rails in that direction and become bitter and resentful, vengeful, plot your revenge. But now you have that mechanism in your life where three times a day you can take some inventory. Am I bitter? Am I angry? Am I holding a grudge? Father, forgive me my sins as I forgive. See what Jesus is doing there? He's saying, I know it's best for my disciples, my followers, to remember a few times a day how much mercy it's going to require for them, and that God is willing to extend mercy when he sees that we are extending mercy. And then he closes with this. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. A reminder that there is an evil one, which our culture has gotten away from. And I can tell you from, you know, reading the ancients, there was a very real belief in the presence of demons and Satan and their activity, and especially in their active temptation of followers of Jesus. Like, they believed that you were tempted by Satan and demons and Jesus is just a reminder that this is out there. There's temptation. There's evil there. And lead me not into temptation, so steer me clear of temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. Now, here's how this might play out. I'm guessing that many affairs start first with a conversation that somehow goes too far, that gets inappropriate, and somehow that's welcome. So let's just say, you know, you and your spouse, you're in a rough patch, and a neighbor maybe texts you and says something like, "Man, I really wish you were home today. I'm lonely." Just enough over the line that it's like, ooh, that's... But you're at a place where you're maybe a little bit vulnerable, and you could text back, and, you know, it's new, it's exciting, it's you're frustrated with your spouse. You could take that further. And that text hits, and that's all kind of going on in your brain, and then your alarm. You know, that's the first time it's ever kind of gone a little too far. There's always a first time. And then your alarm goes off, and Father, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. And you see that for what it is, and you realize that it's time to go back with, cut that off. Nope, I'm happy with my husband, wife, and you should be happy with yours, or what? Just a hard line ending of something that has gone too far and is inappropriate. And you can, you know, whatever that temptation is, whether it be some kind of theft or lie or gossip or slander or whatever it is that you've gotten yourself into that represents your struggle. And a few times a day, it's, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one, a reminder that things can happen fast and need to be cut off quickly. So I hope you see this morning that this is a mechanism that Jesus created intentionally. These are the themes that Jesus says he wants you to build your life around. These are the themes that Jesus knew. You need to be reminding yourself of these things multiple times a day. And here's how you do it. Here's a memorized prayer. And you go through it three times a day, just like Christians have for centuries. And not only are you calling out to God for help with these things, which is a real part of the prayer, but it's a chance for you to take inventory, to cut things off, or to start things that need to be started. So this is a mechanism for you to grow continually and to protect yourself from negative behavior, nipping things in the bud immediately before it accelerates. So I hope you'll think about right now or in your car on the way home or whatever, set your alarm on your phone for three times a day and just try for a few weeks working through Jesus' material in the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father and see what that does. And then I would love to hear your story. Like, tell me I tried that and then it did this, and like, I'd love to hear any of your stories. So let's be done. And we got through a very challenging morning. Yay, Polaris. Thank you to my wife and Phil and the band and all in the tech and everybody that made the craziness of this morning happen. Appreciate that. Let's stand and pray. Father, thank you for choosing to be a father to us, loving us like a father. No matter who we are, no matter where we've been, you love us like a father, and you want us to know that and build around that. And this is your kingdom. This is about your kingdom coming to earth and your will being done. Forgive us when we try to build anything on our own or for ourselves. This is about you. It's not about us. And we pray that you would teach us enoughness, bread day by day. Help us to be generous with our extra bread and be content in what we have with you as our enoughness. Create in us a desire, a love to forgive, a merciful heart, because we need so much mercy ourselves. Help us to be the first to extend mercy to others who have wronged us. And we're grateful for the mercy that you give us. And Father, please protect us from evil. Protect us from sickness. Protect our well-being. And protect us from temptation so that we can fully honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy spring, everybody. Enjoy the weather.